and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's win over Clyde, preview this weekend's game at home to Forfar, and there's news of a testimonial for Ryan Strachan and a loan deal for Blessing Oluyemi. And welcome along to this week's episode on the final episode of 2023, as we'll be taking our usual break for the festivities. Joining myself, Colin Byers, as always, ready to go for the Christmas rush, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How you diddling? Are we looking forward to the festive period?
Good evening. Yeah, I am. I'm looking forward to a bit of a break. Not only for this podcast, but for work as well. So it'll be good to have a bit of time off, recharge the batteries. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yourself?
We think we're organised. Which is now something will crop up at the tail end of the week that we're expecting. But we're pretty much we're set. So we're hosting this year, so we're going to have to be set.
Have you got to do the big shop?
It's all organised. All things in the basket, really, just to get ordered and hopefully get delivered on Saturday morning. Which is obviously I'll be doing for the game on Saturday.
Oh, so you don't actually have to go to the shops. That's not a bad thing. That's a blessing.
Well, the reason for that is because if we don't get something, then we can go and get it later on. That was the kind of thinking. You keep it like these things are. They end up giving you a swap. So instead of having Brussels sprouts, they'll offer you
Andrex toilet rolls.
Something like that. Exactly. So yeah, we're okay with that. I think like you, just looking forward to a wee break for work and everything else.
I'll be fortunate to get a week off in between. I don't know if you, do you have a week off in between college?
I'm off right through. Aye, that's right.
Unfortunate.
Right. So on that note, we'll crack on with the usual stuff. So something it broke over the weekend on Sunday. The club announced there will be a testimonial for Ryan Strachan, co-manager, of course. He will be getting a testimonial on the 6th of July next year. Details, I'm assuming, will be following later on in terms of, you know, what's the whole testimonial will take and could. Usually these kind of things, there's obviously a friendly of some kind against a high-profile team. I wonder who the high-profile team might be this time. But there's usually other bits and pieces as well throughout the year as well. So hopefully we'll get more details on that over the course of the next few weeks. Ryan Strachan is currently third on the all-time list of appearances for 2000 and onwards. And is currently in his 10th season with the club. So thoroughly deserves it, I think.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. No complaints about it. Testimonials are pretty rare these days, aren't they? You don't often see a player being associated with a club for, you know, 10 years or above. I think it's quite an achievement in the modern day football to stay around for that length of time. So yeah, credit to him. I think he thoroughly deserves it as well. As you said, there'll be more details come out in the new year, but yeah, I'm sure it's probably a nice personal achievement for him as well, obviously getting that announced in the last 24 hours. So yeah, looking forward to it.
I just wonder if the likes of maybe Real Madrid or Barcelona will be back with a pre-season by that time, just to get a wee glamour friendly.
Yeah, I'm sure they're looking forward to playing a big team and coming to Balmour, so that would be good, wouldn't it?
So we had seen it yesterday, it was the 6th of July, so we were assuming that then the following week would be roughly when the League Cup campaign would start, because I wouldn't have thought they would have organised the testimonial to be on the first weekend of the League Cup.
No, I would think the players would be back maybe a week before. There'd be the testimonial on the Saturday, and then the League Cup fixture would then start probably the Saturday after. Whether we'd be playing that Saturday or not remains to be seen, but yeah, I'd imagine that would be the sort of format that they're looking at.
Yep, so congratulations to him. As I said, we'll hopefully more details comes out in the next few weeks. Other bit of news last week as well. Goalkeeper Blessing Oluyemi has been loaned out to Inverurie Locos until the end of the season. I guess this, with us having Stuart McKenzie and having Sandy Wood as well, we're out of all the cups as well. So, ideal opportunity for Blessing to get some game time for the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. He needs game time, and that's the excuse me. That's the most crucial part just now for him. It's okay, Dean, in training. You're training twice a week, but he needs that game time. And he needs to be in and around squads that are playing, you know, as well. So I think he's unfortunate. I think he will be a good goalkeeper. He's just very unfortunate that he's got a man like Stuart McKenzie in front of him. Very difficult to try and prize him out of the number one jersey. He is there on merit. And yeah, I think we sort of seen, obviously going back a few months now, he played in the Aberdeen B game. And he's definitely a goalkeeper that he just needs that confidence, but he needs to be playing regularly. And I think Jordan maybe touched on the announcement when it came out for the club. He's got to be playing regularly, and hopefully by going to Inverurie he'll get that opportunity. And yeah, it's something that I'm sure Blessing's looking forward to playing regular football.
Yeah, and his four games he did play or has played so far. Only one of them was in the league, and that was the 0-0 draw against Stenhousemuir. So the rest of the time, excuse me, was the Cup games, League Cup, and as you said, the Challenge Cup, we still call it the Challenge Cup. and those four games, I don't think he did anything particularly wrong.
No, I think he'd a few hairy moments, shall we say, against Aberdeen B. I think there was maybe a 10-15 minute period of that game where he maybe struggled. But other than that, no, I think he's been pretty decent, to be fair. But I just do think he needs that game time, and I don't think he's going to get it, as you rightly touched on, out of the cup, so there's no that possibility of cup competitions anymore. He needs the game time, and I'm sure that there'll be an agreement with Inverurie that he's going there on the premises, that he will be playing, you know, a good chunk of football. It's dropping down to Highland League, but it's still a very good standard. A lot of good players in that division as well. We know that for years gone by and in recent season as well. So yeah, I think it'll do him the world of good, and he'll hopefully come back in the summer a better goalkeeper as well.
Yeah, and he did play on Saturday, made his debut at the 4-2 loss at Fraserburgh, so maybe not off to the best of starts, but obviously, Brockerding quite well. So, it'll be a good for him to test himself, and as you said, play regular games, and that's exactly what we're looking for. You know, this is why why Ryan and Jordan wanted to try and speak to as many the local clubs as possible and get those links open again for such reasons.
Yeah, and this is where that link will now pay off. They've got an agreement with Inverurie that he'll go there, he'll play football. Okay, didn't go off to the greatest starts on Saturday, but as you just touched on there, the Brock's a half-decent side, doing okay this season as well. So, bit of a baptism of fire for him, but I'm sure he'll come through it stronger.
The Brock is a half-decent side. That's probably as complimentary as you're going to get, is it?
It's as much compliments as I'm going to give the Brock's just now, that's for sure. Nay any further forward.
Right, so let's get on to Saturday's game then. 2-1 win against Clyde. We sort of spoke about this last week. This is a start of a run of games where we're playing the bottom three with Clyde, and then we've got 4-4 on Saturday, and then away to Elgin the following week. So a good opportunity to amass some points, get a winning run going as well. We did pick up the 3 points in the 2-1 win. I would probably say maybe wasn't a 90-minute performance. It's maybe one of those as well when you look at it, and you know we left the stadium a little bit disappointed, and you know towards the end maybe felt as though we were hanging on. But with a number of players missing, you know, we had Hamish missing, with Scott Ross was missing, Jason was obviously still out, and a number of players, you know, having illnesses, it probably maybe was a decent win after all, but maybe just that, there's that lingering thing of we maybe should have maybe scored more.
Probably. I think it's now that the dust has sort of settled, it's a welcome 3 points. It's one of them that we've spoken before, that there's no point in putting in good performances and results against the better teams, but falling to the teams that are maybe lower down the division. You'll chalk this one off as not a great performance, but 3 points, as you said, a couple of players missing through various different reasons. Definitely a game I thought of two halves, the proverbial cliche, where I thought we were really good in the first half, some good movement, some good link-up. But for whatever reason, the second half, it just didn't quite come through, whether that was because Ian McCall, he made quite a few tactical changes. We pointed that out through the second half, a few times he'd made changes. We maybe struggled to come to grips with it a wee bit. But yeah, definitely a welcome 3 points, but I just didn't think the performance was just quite there this time.
I think as well, I mean, as much as you like to put one of our Clydes, this one, and we spoke about last week in the build-up, it was a case to, you know, maybe go out there and really put them to the sword, you know, get a few goals, get a number of strikes on goal. And you know, we were doing that first half, but, you know, as you said, second half, it was just a different game altogether.
Yeah, I thought especially when they got the first goal so early, I did think this could be a game where we maybe will go out and score 4 or 5 goals. We've seen recently that the teams run about us seem to be able to put a couple of goals past opposition. They're getting 3s and 4s. We're maybe just not quite at it. But, you know, we've picked up 3 points. We kind of played great for 90 minutes. There's players with injuries, illnesses and, you know, whatnot. And we've still got the win. So, yeah, now that the dust settled, it's a welcome 3 points, but maybe just need quite the performance we maybe anticipated.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's, you normally, as I said, you like to put one over Clyde and like to almost gloat that we've gotten the win, but it was a strange one because, as I said, you came away there thinking we've almost held on for the 3 points instead of just, you know, really killing them off in that first half like we did against Elgin.
Aye, exactly. 2-0, you mentioned it through the second half that we really needed a third to sort of kill the game off. And the longer it went at 2-0, you always thought, well, if Clyde get one back, it's going to be a very nervy finish. And that's exactly what happened. Like I said, Ian McCauley made a few changes, a few tweaks through the second half. And whether we just struggled to come to grips with it, but, you know, if there's players carrying wee knocks and injuries, it was a heavy pitch to cover as well. So a number of different factors come into play, but it's just welcome to get the 3 points.
It was the fourth start in a row for David Wilson because Scott Ross was out through illness and Jason was still out as well. And that meant that Jordan Armstrong started as well. So it was an unfamiliar back four with Caleb at right back. David Wilson was back into centre half again, this time alongside Ryan Strachan and obviously Jordan at left back. And we were quite depleted on the bench as well. Danny was dropped out because he was injured, got an illness. Jordan, I think, was on the bench, but I think it was likely to be played. So the only three options we had out of the outfield players were the ones that did come on.
Yeah, I mentioned it to somebody at work this morning that he'd said previously, oh, we've got quite a big squad. And it just shows you a couple of injuries and players out with various things like illness, and, you know, we suddenly become very depleted, especially in the attacking areas. I think we're okay defensively. We've got bodies that can cover in that area, but maybe further forward in the part of midfield and the strikers, we do seem to lack a little bit of depth. Hopefully that's something that might be covered off in January. That will remain to be seen, but yeah, we are lacking a you know, crucial bodies on the bench.
And last week when we did preview game, we did call for a fast start, you know, getting forward quickly as we can and try and put the pressure on them straight away, and we did that within 2 minutes. Jack Brown with the opening goal, good play down the right hand side by Conor O'Keefe. Quite a simple goal actually when you look back at it, you know, just a cross into the box. It's knocked down by McAllister, and Jack Brown's on the edge of the box to fire it into the bottom corner.
Yeah, and took his goal really well so early in the game. Probably very easy. Your first shot and goal and put it wide or blast over or whatever. Good cushioned header down as well, as you said. And he's pretty past the keeper and really gave us a really positive start. I did get sort of Elgin vibes for that. We might go on to score quite a few. It didn't really happen. But as we said, it was fine to get a nice early start. We came at them, you know, pretty quick, nice and early, got off to a good start, and a really good finish by Jack Brown.
And O'Keefe was playing that role just sort of behind the front two of McAllister and Shanks, and that sort of number 10 in the hole. He was drifting left and right through the middle as well. Very difficult to pick up a player like that, you know, if you're a defending side.
It was almost like he sort of had a bit of a free roll in the advanced areas. It was almost like, you know, when they got to limit you to one area, try and cause a bit of a nuisance. And whether that's something that Ryan and Jordan's picked up on their footage on Clyde and how their shape is and how they defend. They gave Conor O'Keefe that license sort of to be a nuisance in the attacking area. And I thought especially first half he did that well. Not so much the second half, but yeah, first half he did that role pretty comfortably.
And 6 minutes later, after Jack Brown had scored, we could have made it two. This time it was McAllister who was put through, and actually it ended up being a good save by Leachfield in the Clyde goal.
Yeah, McAllister's done everything right, apart from putting in the back of the net. No complaints, goalkeeper's made a good save, but if you're being critical, you'd maybe expect him to finish it at a man of Rory's calibre in front of goal, but yeah, the keeper's made a good save.
Aye, we've been hypercritical. If we'd ended winning the game, then perhaps we might have come back to that one. But yeah, now, at that stage of the game, as we said before, you know, that was exactly what we were looking for. That was exactly the start we were looking for. You know, we're getting bodies forward, we're getting shots away. And really putting them under the cosh.
Yeah, once we got the first in, I did think that maybe the Clyde confidence would drop, their defence would be a yard further back, and we could really try and turn the screw. But yeah, we had one or two chances after, but I wouldn't say we held back slightly, we just felt we never really kicked on for getting that opening goal, and that's maybe the slightly frustrating part of it.
I can only recall maybe one effort that Clyde had in the first half. There was a long range effort that was well saved by McKenzie. It was a good height for him, but good strong arms. I think that was probably the only one that they had, and I don't think they really got in behind us either. As I said, that one came for long range defensively. We were looking quite good first half.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I think that's only one. I don't really got in behind the full-back areas either. It's maybe an area that some teams have sort of exploited for us in recent weeks, especially doing the left-hand side. But no, Clyde didn't really cause as much problems in the first half.
And the second goal came on the half-hour mark. Conor O'Keefe with it. Just another, you know, Conor O'Keefe goal of the season contender. I mean, if he keeps going the way that we're going, he's going to win this this goal of the season pretty much himself. He's going to have 1-2-1-3.
Conor O'Keefe doing what Conor O'Keefe does. He does not do simple goals. He does not do tap-ins. He does something that you didn't expect, and that's exactly what he did on Saturday again.
It's just the composure he's got. I mean, he's taking the ball and good pass in from Shanks to play him in. And that's what we're saying about him offering that role in the, as a free role. You know, he's getting in beyond McAllister and Shanks playing him in. But he's got two bodies running about him. He's got the control. He cuts it back onto his right. And I think 99 out of 100 players would be looking at that and going, right, I'm going to try and curl this into the far corner, or, you know, look for a pass. Nae Conor O'Keefe, he's actually chipping the keeper for there.
It's a good job, Connor's that 1 in 100. he spots something different. You mentioned his composure. I think his vision as well, to realise where the keeper's at that precise moment as well. And obviously he's got the ability. He backs himself to do it. He doesn't do tap-ins. He does something out of the ordinary. If you've got a player like that that can do something different, he can literally be a match winner on his own. And to have somebody like that and his quality in your squad is a massive thing.
It's difficult to do if you're watching a game, but if you next time you're watching a Conor, if he's playing on Saturday, which I'm assuming he will be, you know, just sort of if you can look at him for a couple of minutes. He's always sort of looking around. He's always got that kind of vision to see who's running about him, where players are at. And that's top quality kind of stuff. It's constantly assessing where players are, you know, where the goalkeeper might be for where he's at for a corner, where he's at for a, maybe if they've got a throw in the Peterhead half, for example. just always scanning about and seeing where others are.
That's why he did that sort of free roll in the advanced area really well, because his movement's good, but he's also his quick thinking, his vision. He's always that one step ahead of his defender or his marker because he's already scanned the pitch, you know, half a second earlier. And it's quite a simple thing to say, but the players are fully aware of his surroundings. It's easier to say. It's a lot more difficult to do in practice. And he does it really well, and that's why he will give, you know, be half a yard ahead of his opposition and why he can do things like he did on Saturday.
Caleb Goldie was the next to have an effort on goal. Really good run by him down the right-hand side. Getting forward, a quick 1-2 with Andy McCarthy, getting into the byline, but then cutting inside and not afraid to drive on and have a shot on his left foot, but it was unfortunately blocked by him. The block then goes to Jack Brown at the edge of the box, and his left foot shot was wide via the deflection. So, you know, plenty of pressure on. And that run by Caleb Goldie was something that we haven't seen very often of him. But I do think Saturday was probably one of his better performances and one that that we've been looking for him for a wee while. Because maybe he's just regressed a little bit, but I think that was one of his better performances this season.
Yeah, I think 6 to 8 weeks ago, we're maybe saying his form had slightly dipped. Pardon me, whether that was a confidence thing or not. But yeah, Saturday was back to, you know, sort of what we've seen when he first came through the door. Got in that attacking quality, and as you said, got to the byline. He's just happy and quite content to try and chip it in or win a corner. He's trying to be on the front foot. He's cut inside and he's left and had a shot. Again, the confidence to take on his so-called weaker foot. And yeah, he did well apart from it being blocked. But yeah, I agree. I think it was one of his better games.
And we have to say as well, he is just 18. It's his first season as a professional, if you like, you know, playing in the first team. For Sunday, so you know it is a learning curve for him. But you know there are flashes of somebody who's going to be a great player for the in the future.
Yeah, there are definitely signs. You can see why Ryan and Jordan liked him, why they wanted to take him in. As you said, very young, still learning his trade, got years and years ahead of him. And yeah, he definitely poses quality that you think he can really develop. And Saturday was one of them games. Nay, one of them standout performances, but he didn't do nothing wrong. And when you're 18 years of age and you're playing in you know, League Two football, that's exactly what you want to do. You want to just be assured in yourself and your performance. And yet, really, no complaints for him.
And it was so Keith who was the turning provider this time for Shanks, putting him in just before half time. And he was put through, but he ends up hitting the side net. And I think this one maybe, I think we've seen it and we said at the time he's maybe taking an extra touch, maybe he doesn't need to. But he's ended up hitting the side net, and you maybe thought he was maybe trying to give the keeper the eyes and go for the near post rather than the far post.
I thought at the time the goalkeeper left quite a bit of a gap at his left hand side. I just wondered whether Kieran tried to give him a wee bit of the eyes, but go near post. Because I think we've seen him in the past, he on his left foot, he sometimes drags it ever so slightly, so I just wondered whether he gave the keeper the eyes. But yeah, really unfortunate that he hit the target.
So we're 2-0 up at half time, probably, you know, could have well been 3 or even 4 up at that time, and really, you know, killed off the game.
Yeah, I think at half time you'd have maybe liked to have gone in at 3-0, and you'd have felt the game would have been over. I thought that we would have come out in the second half and really just gone for the jugular, get that third goal, kill the game off. But we didn't, and you know, Clyde made a few changes, especially our three substitutions at half time, and yeah, I think they started the second half the better team.
Yeah, I just wonder as well if that three changes played into their hands, was they needed to do something. Ian McCall obviously felt as though that things weren't going their way, so he's made the three changes. They changed the setup slightly as well, because for the vast majority of that second half, we didn't really have much going forward at all.
We didn't really hit nothing, did we? Which is so straight, and we mentioned it. It's not often you see a triple substitution at half time. Evidently, Ian McCall was far from impressed with his team's first half performance. They felt a need to make the changes. You then commented that there was also a tactical change as well with the formation and the roles that they were playing. They got more men forward. I just wonder, looking back, whether that three substitutions at half-time maybe caught us off guard a wee bit, and we struggled to adapt, and it maybe took us a good 10, 15 minutes to really figure out what Clyde were trying to do. And then the momentum of the game sort of swung a wee bit. I think, although we were 2-0 up, I thought Clyde were the better team in the second half, and you just think, you always felt a goal was sort of coming for them.
There was the one, I think it was Shanks, it was put through, I think it was a McKenzie punt up the park, actually, because he was we were playing with the wind second half, and he's trying to lob the keeper, but he sort of mishit it slightly, and it's gone by the keeper more than anything else, and he's then trying to chase it. But I think that was really the only effort that we had second half. Clyde had a lot of the bar without sort of troubling them too much, I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, they had a lot of the possession, but they didn't really do much with it for large periods. It's difficult, because I sort of think we were comfortable at 2-0, but you did feel that if there was another goal in the game, it was going to come for Clyde, if that sort of makes sense. But I didn't really panic at 2-0 up, but you sort of always saw the way the game was going, the momentum was with Clyde. They seemed to be smarter in their play. They knew, you know, how to try and get at us a wee bit. And yeah, I think we struggled to adapt in the second half.
And they did get they did get a goal 10 minutes to go, which made it for a really nervy final few minutes. Massive deflection, obviously, for a shot for the edge of the box. It deflects off Davy Wilson. I think it might have been Jordan Armstrong, I'm not sure which one it was, but definitely takes a massive deflection. It just completely wrong foots McKenzie, nothing he can do about it, but they were right back into the game at that stage.
Yeah, the deflection's a wicked one. I don't think the score had it been for the deflection. Wrong foots McKenzie, there's nothing he can do. It's one of them, because it's taken such a big deflection. You can't really do nothing about it. But you could tell that they sensed something, because as soon as the ball went in the back of the net, one of their strikers had run up and, you know, grabbed the ball. And even with 10 minutes to go, they felt they could have got something for the game.
There was a nervousness amongst the crowd, because you felt as though that we'd let them back into it. We hadn't killed them off. And because we hadn't killed them off, we did exactly it. They got the goal back in again, and for the next 10 or 15 minutes, however long it was, there was that fear of, you know, we could actually end up throwing this one away.
I mentioned it to somebody at work this morning. He was at the game on Saturday. He even said that you could almost sense the atmosphere totally changed by one goal going in. He said at 2-0, we looked okay, we were fine. And then once that goal went in, the nervousness that was around the stadium, and that maybe sort of transferred onto the pitch a wee bit with some of the things in the last 10 minutes. But we sort of allowed them back into the game. We didn't get that third. We didn't play particularly well in the second half. It's not like we were playing well and just didn't quite come for us. I don't think we played that great compared to the first half. And once they got the goal, they sent something. And there was a nervousness around the stadium. You can sort of feel it. And yeah, it did feel a long 10, 15 minutes. I think maybe if it happened against Ayr at home as well, was maybe lingering in the back of some people's minds thinking, oh, nay again. But yeah, credit to them. They held on for the 3 points, and that's what was needed at the end of the day.
Yeah, it was very, very reminiscent of that Ayr game. It's like if you conceded again, that would have been quite dire. Towards the end of the game, we get the Rory McArthur was sent off at two yellow cards. The first one, then I don't think there's any complaints with the first one, taking out the Clyde player just on the or just inside the Clyde half. I think it was rash, shall we say, that one.
Yeah, no complaints whatsoever. Yeah, rash, wee bit daft, didn't feel the player was going anywhere. It was it's not like they were on a break and we were trying to stop it. Yeah, whether Rory had maybe a slight bit of frustration on him earlier on in the game, I don't know. But yeah, it was a weird challenge, I would say. One I don't think, looking back on now, he really needed to make, but he did. And yeah, probably right decision with the yellow.
And that's probably why it is a yellow, because I don't think he really needs to make the challenge. It's nay in an area that's going to cause us too much problems. But he does make the challenge. He does get the yellow. Right. Second one, then, slightly more contentious, I think. He's obviously been given it for simulation for a dive. At the game, you and I had different opinions on, you know, was it or was it not? And we're now to kind of have that kind of open debate. I thought at the time it was not a dive, but also didn't feel as though it was a penalty either. You had a slightly different view on that.
Yeah, at the time, seeing it live, I thought he was looking for it. It really was. And having seen the footage back on Saturday night and Sunday, I spoke to you yesterday and said, yeah, I stand corrected, that there is contact. There's very, very slight contact going by the footage. Rory will be able to tell us whether there was more than we would think, but there is minimal contact, near enough for a penalty, but to be classed as a dive in the position that the referee's in as well, I think is very strange. The referee had a really good view. He's a lot closer than the action and fit we were. But the referee must have been, you know, 100% convinced that there's been no contact, because as soon as Rory went down, the referee's blown for a foul and pointed for a free kick, and you knew exactly at that point he's going to give a yellow card for simulation, resulting in the red. But yeah, at the time I thought he was looking for it. Had it been given, I would have felt it was very soft. Obviously, you thought it was a penalty, you thought there was more contact, but yeah, I think had it been given, it had been very, very soft.
I didn't think it was a penalty. I think it was more coming together. I'm not actually entirely sure that Rowley is claiming for a penalty, actually. I think if you look back on the highlights, it does look as though it's more of a slip, and that's maybe where the contact comes from. So to book him, I think is extremely harsh. I think it's one of those where he can just let the play go, because I think we'd actually end up with a blank. Clyde had cleared it. So it's maybe one of those where we can, you put it down to, it's not a foul, but it's not a dive either.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. Like I said, I think it would have been soft had it been given. I think we started touching it yesterday. Rory's left leg is sort of, it's not new, it's sort of the way he's running. And as he's planted his right foot, it looks like he stumbles. And whether the referees deem that to be, well, you've been looking for it, you ain't got the contact, you've gained down, that's why it was a foul and they just continuation of the play. But as I said, referee's in a really good view. To book him, he's got to be convinced that he's got the right decision, because obviously a second yellow you can appeal. Had it been a straight red for something, you can. A second yellow, you can't. And yeah, I think it was very, very harsh to send him off for it.
And I wonder as well if this is going to be one of those learning curves for both Ryan and Jordan as well, as they sort of make their way through in their managerial careers. You've got a player like that on a yellow card. Obviously, I'm not saying it's suggesting that he was diving or anything like that, but because he's picked up that yellow card, if they look to try and bring him off a little bit earlier, you know, take out that kind of possibility that he's going to get sent off and therefore suspended for the next game, and just sort of nullify that. It might be something that they look at later on and go, well, he's on a yellow, let's just get him off and bring somebody else on.
Possibly. I think you're also looking for your experienced players to show that experience and, you know, guide some of the younger players through. Like I said, I think it's, we don't think Rory's looking for it. We think it's a harsh yellow card, but you maybe try and mitigate that possibility happening. I think we spoke to Jason Brown, I think it was before the, was it the Dundee United game, we said, with certain referees, do you as players, you know, figure out how you're going to come to a game differently based on the referee? Now, we came at the referee on Saturday, he did like a card or two. Again, does that come into your thought process, thinking, well, this player wears his heart on his sleeve, or this player does that? But we've also got to be mindful of, well, the referee has been known to give out yellow cards pretty quick compared to other referees. So there's a few things to take into consideration. I don't think he's dive looking for a penalty. We think it's a stumbling, a slight coming together, but not quite enough for a penalty. But yeah, you're looking for your experienced players to, you know, try and manage the game as well.
And that's his third red card this season that Greg Souter's produced this season. All of them have been in Peterhead games. You know, we talked earlier on or last week about the sending offs at Dumbarton and the Shinrar one, I think it was. Was it after the game? So, you know, he does like to produce the cards. And funnily enough, if you take you back to the Clyde game, doing it at, I was going to say doing it at Clyde, but it's at Hamilton, Kieran Shanks got sent off. And yes, they were gonna bring him off, but there was obviously an error in, you know, the team sheet, the team lineups. So, you know, maybe consciously they did have that in their mind, but maybe they were wanting to push for that third goal. There's a fine balancing act. There's a fine line. Try to, you know, try and win the game, but also try and see out the game as well.
Yeah, and that's a very difficult thing. I think when you've got a player of Rory's quality, you always want to try and leave him on for as long as possible, because he can give you that flash of brilliance. And his goal scoring record, it would almost be, you know, slightly daft to take him off when you're wanting a goal and you're looking for it. As I said, I think the yellow card to be a second one to then become a red, I think it's very harsh given where the referee's at. But he must have been, you know, that confident in his mind, because as I said, it was very quick once the Rory went due to give the foul. But probably, as you touched on a few minutes ago, one of them, you could say it's like coming together and you play on and, you know, everybody's happy. But yeah, a referee to keep up the standards with a red card.
So you look at the starts at the end of the game, you know, we had 9 shots, 3 on target. Clyde had 6 shots, 3 on target, and we'd 5 corners to their 0. And I would suggest as well that the vast majority of those corners and the shots that we had, especially the ones on target, all came in the second half. The first half.
Yeah, like I said at the start, I think the performances were night and day. The first half was really good with good bits of play, link up, working it well. Second half, it didn't really come to fruition. I think we struggled a wee bit. As we said, the illnesses, it hasn't helped either this week. But yeah, definitely one of them. You probably look back at the end of the season and go, that is a crucial win because of everything that happened throughout the game and, you know, the difficult period in the second half.
Okay, on to some of your comments then after the game. David Stormuth, he says it's a good home win. Second goal was fantastic, great football. Luis Cardinal, great first half with some superb link-up play and goals. Second half was hard to watch at times, but still a lot of very good, intelligent passing. Rory and Kieran, just full of effort in the first half, especially chasing down everything. And Rory, especially, was sharp and tracking back well. With Jack Brown and Goldie, all good shouts for man of the match. Daniel Ritchie, first half convincing and good quality, worrying second half. Felt Clyde dominated it. In the second period, Shanks seems to be missing the magic he had in the first quarter of the season. And when was the last time he scored? We seem to be mostly getting one or two goals, with Stenhousemuir, Dumbarton, Shinrar, and even East Fife, two having had threes and fours more consistently. So to answer the question about Kieran Shanks, whether or not it's a rhetorical question or no, we're going to answer it. So obviously his last game goal was the cup game against Ayr. And yeah, maybe he hasn't been sort of banging in the goals as much in the last sort of 3 or 4 games. But, you know, over the course of the season, he's got 10 goals, 5 assists in these 22 games. So, you know, it's mere... so there's more sort of goals and contributions, assists for him as well.
Yeah, 15 goal contributions in 22 games. I think it's a very, very solid return. Got no complaints. I think the work rate that Kieran gives you as well is second to none. He's chasing everything down. And he's been suffering from illness the last couple of weeks as well. So. I think it's testament that you wouldn't have noticed that within his performances. He gives you everything. Yeah, maybe not quite as prolific in recent weeks as he maybe was at the start of the season. But yeah, his contribution and what he gives you on and off the ball, I think, second to none.
Graham McLean played very well first half, seemed to ease off a little bit in the second and allowed Clyde to dictate the tempo a little. Their goal made for a nervy 10 minutes, but we saw it through. Must learn to keep the pressure on teams and not allow them back in the game. Rory's second yellow, in my opinion, was not a dive. Definitely not a Todd Cantwell standards anyway. Andrew Milne, to be fair, Peterhead dominated the first half. Quick first goal, and I thought we had it in the bag. Second goal was well taken. Second half was a tough watch. Give Clyde their due. They were bottom of the league, but they put up a good fight. Last 10 minutes was hard to watch, as it could have ended up in a draw. And Neil Thompson, the other thing I think we could be missing just now is Jason Brown being captain and geeing everybody up on the park. He is prepared to shout if things go flat. And I was actually thinking that myself during the second half. There was too many times Clyde were playing well, but you sort of looked at the Fawes on the park and Fawes the shouters, Fawes the ends, it's trying to gee everybody up. And, you know, we're lacking those ones that you would expect it to be, you know, Jason and Scott Ross as well, in particular.
Yeah, and I think you'll always miss players of that calibre, especially if they give you the mentality side of things. When things aren't maybe quite going as you'd hope through the game, you need somebody just trying to calm everybody down, but, you know, give out the right shouts at the right time. I think Jason Brown does that really well. I did see Ryan a few times in the second half. Maybe he's nae one of them that walking around the park shouting, but he was definitely speaking to players and trying to, you know, maybe reset where their position was and say you need to be further forward or come back a wee bit. So Ryan was doing it. He maybe just wasn't doing it in a shouting capacity that would maybe see Jason doing it in.
So that means that we remain in second after all that, still 5 points behind Stenishmuir with the game in hand. We're starting to kind of see the top three or four just break away a little bit with the results at the weekend there. But really need to be sort of kicking on here over the next few weeks and getting the points on the board.
Definitely, yeah. This is a period now where Clyde included with three games where you really want to sort of pick up maximum points, put the pressure on Steny. I still think, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Steny will go through a period of dropping points and we've got to be in touching distance. I think most folk outside the club would have said, yeah, if Peterhead got playoffs, they'd be happy, given how well we've started. Excuse me, January just round the corner as well, if you can get a few new additions in, freshen things up in the attacking third. Like I said, Steny's going to drop points somewhere, just keep on their tails. And yeah, we should be in for a good season. As you said, league tables now starting to take shape. We are pretty comfortably in the playoffs. I think that's minimum where we'll be. You just want to keep on Steny's coattails.
So on Saturday will be our final home game of 2023, as we welcome Forfar to Balmoor. Another side, as we said earlier, in the bottom three, currently eighth in the table. You know, maybe having been playing as well, or certainly the expectations at the start of the season. 3-1 it was the last time we played them pretty well, doing the road in pretty horrendous conditions, and they've just had one win in the last seven since that game as well. So, much like we said last week and before the Clyde game, a big opportunity this one to try and turn the screw on a side who's not playing particularly well.
Yeah, they're not playing particularly well. I think through the whole season we've had so far, I think our toughest 20 minutes was probably that game during at Forfar. I think we were 2-0 up at the time. They just scored. Remember that 20-minute period?
Yeah, just
where
the second half, yeah.
Battered for, yeah, 15, 20 minutes. I think that's been our toughest period of the season so far. So they're a team to take lightly. As you said, they're not in great form just now. They have struggled. Again, probably go in the bracket of Clyde. If you can get an early goal and really turn the screw, you should be okay. But maybe the Clyde game was a slight kick up the backside, dare I say it, in terms of, okay, that was a so-called on-paper weaker team that's coming up and we didn't quite hit all cylinders. Yeah, maybe a chance to reset. You're hoping players like Jason on the back, Scott, Hamish. And then you miss them, you know, them players on the plane, you will certainly miss them. So hopefully they'll be back for Saturday. And yeah, get an early start, like we said, against Clyde. I think we should be okay.
Yeah, I would expect the likes of Scott to be back, Jason as well, if he comes through this week as well. Certainly gave us the impression, certainly, that he was going to be certainly within the squad next week. And Hamish as well, hopefully he's recovered as well. So that's three big players that will be hopefully available to us again next week. On the flip side, obviously, we're not going to have Rory. But a chance for possibly for Aaron to get a full 90 minutes. It will be a very interesting to see what happens with that one, whether it is him it starts or not.
Yeah, I think Aberdeen will probably be looking pretty closely as well, given that Rory's not going to be playing, so that there is an opportunity. Whether Ryan and Jordan decide maybe to change it up slightly with the formation and put somebody else up, whether it's going to be Conor O'Keefe, maybe slightly advanced forward, remains to be seen. But yeah, hopefully we'll get a couple of players back. We'll be missing the experience of Rory up there with Kieran Shanks, but I'm sure he'll lead the line fine. And it'd be good for Kieran to get another league goal as well, just to settle things down a wee bit.
And one of the players that might be available as well could be Danny, obviously. He might be fully fit again, fully recovered as well. So that's another option for us as well. Having played, you know, it seems to be quite regular in midfield now as well.
Yeah, we've touched on it before with Danny. He can cover a lot of different positions, covers it really well. He's struggled lately with the injuries that he's had and, you know, sickness and illness and whatever. It's really helped him. But, you know, it just shows you that the type of guy he is. He couldn't start on Saturday. He wants to play every game and every minute that he can. And yeah, hopefully he'll be fighting fit and ready to go on Saturday.
And another opportunity, you know, if we can start off well, start off on the front foot and try and, again, like we did on Saturday, try and get an early goal.
Hopefully, the games at Balmer, you really want to try and get off to a good start regardless of who you're playing. I think I said it before the Clyde game in the preview, if you allow them to come up and you do not get in their face and attack them early on, they'll get confidence from it and feed their way into the game and frustrate us and make it difficult for us to break them down. I think we've struggled at home with teams that come up and just sit with, you know, a 4-4-2 or two banks of 4-1-1, whatever. We struggle to break them down. You can sense that a wee bit of unrest at times. So crucial, it'll be good to get an early goal as well. I think we sort of need the early goals to try and relax everybody, you know, on the pitch and in the stands, and hopefully we can get that on Saturday.
And it's strange that there are two wins this season in the league. Both of them have been away from home. They've yet to win a game at home. So it's maybe one of those teams that prefer to play away from him. There's a bit more or less pressure on them.
They like to play in the counter. We've seen that even in the home game. You know, doing it for their home game. They soaked up pressure pretty well in the first half, and then they tried to hit you on the break with the second big guy up front. And yeah, it caused us a bit of problem doing there. So hopefully we can cause them problems up here. Hopefully we can get a good start. Hopefully, as I said, we've got, you know, a couple of players coming back for illness and they'll be fully fit. And yeah, really maybe try and get a couple of goals, help with that goal difference, catch up with Stenny, and just keep the pressure on them. It's one game at a time, but just keep winning games.
And that's the thing, you know, we had a pretty good, pretty decent goal difference up until, you know, a few weeks ago. You know, we were scoring goals but not conceding either. We're still scoring goals, but maybe not as much. And we're just conceding that one goal here and a one goal there as well. So, yeah, as you said, the goal difference suddenly it changes to in their favour as well, and with that 5-point gap as well.
Yeah, the game in hand will be massive for us. Pardon me, when we come up to play Dumbarton in January, that'll be a big week for us. But we just need to keep winning games, chalking them off, and, you know, as I said, keeping on the tails of Stenny. They score late goals. They've done it a few weeks now. We've noticed that, and obviously they've got that sort of winning ability, and they just keep winning. We've got to do the same. All that we can do is, you know, be on our coattails so when they do slip up, which I'm sure they will at some point this season, that we're there to try and take advantage.
Okay, delighted to say our final guest of 2023 joins me to discuss Saturday's game and all things for us, Logan Hutchison. Logan, welcome back. How are you?
No bad. It's an honour to be the final guest of the year. Hopefully a good win on Saturday as well to go with it.
Well, I was going to say that the pressure's on to leave a good mark on the year.
Well, it'll be a bit of a depressing end to it. I did warn you of that before.
You did say that then. Yeah, so what we are then, 8th in the table. How would you sum it up so far then?
Am I allowed to swear?
yeah, go on then, it's the last one.
Shite. Absolutely awful. You know, pre-season favourites and what are we, 13 points off the playoffs come the end of the year? Really, really not good. I suppose we're just lucky that Clyde and Elgin are as bad as they are. And I mean, even Elgin beat us, so that's the stage we're at. But, you know, there's no real danger of us going down, or touch wood. But, yeah, it's a bit grim at the minute.
There's no danger of you going down. There doesn't be any danger of you getting into the playoffs either. So, you know, with half the season still to go, it's almost, they're sort of coasting to the end of the season.
Oh, I mean, no, it would take a hell of a turnaround for us to be anywhere in that, but I don't think Spartans are anything special. I think they might fall off a wee bit in the second half of the season once that promotion. So, you know, the juice of League 2 sort of wears off and they get into the grind of it, but it would take a lot of investment in January and a big turnaround in fortunes to be anywhere near that sort of stuff at the end of the season.
Would you expect a lot of changes, if any, during the January window?
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot going forward. I can see a few of the lone players going back to the clubs. And, I mean, everyone's looking for a striker, aren't they? But badly, more than anything, we need to bring one in and start putting ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, just looking at here, 15 goals, I think it is, in your 16 league games. Obviously, isn't it good enough?
No, absolutely not. And Stuart Morrison, who has been fantastic this season, he's a centre-half and is our top goal scorer. In fact, Josh Kelly might have just nipped in front of him his goal on Saturday, but he's certainly up there. It's really been quite good. You know, I wasn't at the Spartans game, I didn't see it, but by all accounts it was a terrible game of football. But the actual past two performances haven't been terrible. We're just not putting the ball in the net. And yeah, I mean, it's bleak at the minute. It really is bleak. And Ray's clearly been given time. To me, that means he'll be here for the whole season, which means you've got to back him in January. You've got to give him the resources to go out and fix the mistakes in the squad. And yeah.
You do sound depressed, which is on the airing a little bit.
And you know what? I honestly, it's gotten to a stage where I'm just trying to think as little as possible about the football. It is grim, and I'm having to talk about it.
Well, you did manage to get 2 goals on Saturday, but you did concede 4 as well. I mean, looking at Faye the outside, it seemed to be quite an entertaining game.
Oh, it really was entertaining. The first half especially was crazy. You know, Dumbarton took the lead from a deflection. It deflected off 2 of our players and completely wrong footed McCallum. And it's the third time in 3 weeks that's happened. So when it's not going well, your luck's just not there. That was the opening goal. And we got level again from a penalty. And we're playing quite well. We're a better side. Dumbarton, very, very good on the wings. They broke us down and scored, made it 2-1 in the 45th minute just before injury time. We equalised to make it 2-2 right before half time. A lovely goal from Seb Ross. And then Dumbarton got a free kick on the edge of the box and we decided not to mark the man who was standing in 10 yards of space and he smashed it into the top corner. So that was 2 goals in 3 minutes, 3 goals in 2 minutes, sorry, to end the half. And it was a half we probably deserved to go in leading and we went in 3-2 down and we never recovered. Having said that, there was a blatant penalty not given on Josh Skelly. He was running through on goal, the way he slot it in and got barged over and didn't get given. And it's a hard luck story, but things just don't seem to be going our way at the minute.
Let's take you back to the previous game between the two sides, doing it for horrendous weather, if you recall. Was worried that the game might not go ahead, but it did go ahead. What was your kind of memories of that game and how did you think it went?
Terrible first half from us, passive, poor, created very little. And really gifted you your 2 goals, 2 goal head start. And from there, second half, I actually thought we were quite good. Put you under a lot of pressure, got the goal. And when we got the goal, we were looking like another one was going to come. We passed up quite a few chances, but it's the story of our season. We couldn't take the chances when we were on top, and you picked us off again at the end, and that was that. And we never really gave ourselves a chance, giving you a two-goal head start in the manner that we did. So
is that, you said that kind of sums up your season. It's a case of, you know, being not being in the games for 90 minutes. It's maybe being in games for maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Well, it's not... Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're ever getting overrun, but we have these 20-minute spells where we look really dangerous. We look like we're starting to click as a team, and we look like we can put the ball in the back of the net. And if we don't get in front, then we're not going to win the game. That's what it feels like. If we don't get on top of it when we have that spell when we're really dangerous, the energy seems to just sap out and the game fizzles out for us. And maybe that's a confidence thing with it being so poor. I don't know, but yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, a better away side than you're a home side, because going by the record, you've got two wins. Both of those have been away from home and no wins at home. Is that a fair assessment, or is that just maybe how things have gone?
Well, we've not won at home since we beat Arbroath in June, so or July, or whenever that was. And I've not seen us win in 90 minutes since then. So maybe you can sense my tone is poor, because we won at Bonnier against Snara. I couldn't make either of those games. Two difficult places to go, to be fair. We don't have great... I mean, that was our first win over Bonnier since it came up, and we don't have a great record at Snara either. So perhaps that's a bit surprising, but yeah. I don't know whether it's the pressure of having the fans there. I mean, none of the fans are very happy. There was booing. There's been a lot of booing this season. You know, maybe that's the pressure that they feel. And when the fans aren't there, the pressure comes off a wee bit. But I don't know.
Is it maybe a case like maybe how Saturday might go? It's a case of, well, you're maybe the now classified as maybe the underdogs when you go away from home, and the pressure's off maybe slightly?
Well, maybe it is that. If teams sit in it against us, we can't break them down. I think people figured that out fairly early on, and at home they sit in, maybe there's a wee bit more pressure on the home side to come out and attack when we're playing away, and gives us a bit more of an opportunity. But I don't know what it is. But I'm hoping to see us win again soon, because it's been a bit bleak for the past few months.
Oh yeah, after last season we know exactly how you're feeling. How do you see Saturday going then? Do you expect a better performance from you?
Well, I've been mildly encouraged by the past two performances, but we battled Sunar and they scored their only shot of the game with a deflected free kick, and it finished 1-1, which was frustrating. We must have missed about 15 chances, you know. I didn't see us at Spartan's terrible game, like I said. Dumbarton, first half we were good, second half kind of fizzled out after we went two goals down, and it was some really poor defending. So you can fix the defending if you can find something that's going to click going forward. Seb Ross has come back at the team and has looked pretty tasty. He's not most composed in front of goal, but he took his chance well on Saturday. So maybe things are beginning to turn around. Maybe. I've seen McAllister got sent off. Will he miss Saturday?
He'll be missing Saturday, yeah.
That's a bit of a boost for us, because he gave us a bit of a tough time last time out. So I was pleased by that when I seen that come through in the 90th minute on Saturday. So maybe that's a wee bit of encouragement. And if I recall rightly, he was suspended when we beat you in 2017. It was the last time I was watching for at Bamur.
Yeah.
And that was a bit... And then, so hopefully there's a repeat of that one.
Yeah, you didn't mention it last time you were on, but you've managed to segue that one in nicely, yeah.
Slide it in there, eh? Think back to Abel times.
I mean, you must be feeling very optimistic if you think that's going to be a repeat of that score.
Well, I didn't think, well, we were fairly shocking for the 6 months before that playoff game, and that kind of came out of the Maybe we'll batter you 5-1 on Saturday. You never know.
Well, you never know. The stranger things have happened. You mentioned Seb Ross coming back. Is he maybe going to be the key to a possible revival for you?
Well, maybe. We've tried God knows how many formations now, and we've looked the best in this sort of 4-4-2 diamond midfield thing with Seb Ross and Josh Skell up front. Seb's not a striker, but he's doing a job there just now. He took his goal well on Saturday. Lovely feat to beat his man and sort it at home. and he's quick, he's direct, he's got a wee trick in him, he can pick the ball, pick a pass out, and he dovetails Skelly, all right, he's probably the best front two we've seen. Rory McLeod's been out injured, I'd probably like to see him come in when he's back fit, but we actually started with Roberto and Ndidi at right wing on Saturday. It was a 4-3-3, Andy Monroe got injured pretty quickly, that put an end to that experiment. It feels like Ray's trying anything and everything to get a result. I don't want to say he's running out of ideas, but there was six defenders on the park to start the game, so maybe that's where he sees it going. But yeah, the diamond in midfield seems to work all right, but again, it can be quite stodgy if we get bogged down in midfield, and certainly when Ryan Patterson's on the bench, it feels like there's not a lot of creativity in that midfield with Watley. Moore can create stuff, but Watley, Morrison is a centre-half. He's been playing at the base of the diamond. He's been doing quite well in there, but he's not going to create chances. So, yeah, that's where it is at the minute.
Could be in for an interesting game on Saturday. So, what's kind of your hopes and aspirations for next year in 2024?
Well, promotion's off the cards, isn't it? I'll be a realist on that one. Not even my eternal optimism will get there. So, a good start to next season, whoever is in charge by then, because that's obviously up in the air. A strong start to 2024, and hopefully 2024. Oh God, that sounds weird. 2024, and hopefully a good end to this season where it's not too depressing, mid-table and bleak. Staying well away from the bottom, and then hopefully kicking on towards League One come the end of 2024.
At least you've got a Scottish Cup tie against Hibs, I think it is, to kind of look forward to, or maybe not look forward to, maybe is the case, maybe.
No, because I don't think we'll get battered. I think we'll raise our game and give them a good go, especially at Station Park. There'll be a big crowd. I'm hopeful that will boost the budget for January a wee bit. Mm. And hopefully, you know, that Scottish Cup run's done as well. I know we've played Huntley and Trenent, so it's not massive opponents we've been, but both of them are away, both tricky ties to come through, and we got through, and we've got the glamour tie, if you like, at the bonus. Wee bit disappointing it's not on the telly, but Saturday 3 p.m. there'll be a big crowd, so it'll be good to go. Although we've just had a bit of a blow the last few days. I don't know if you've seen Roberto Ndidi's been called up to the Tanzania squad for the African Cup of Nations. So we'll be missing him for the majority of January, maybe into February as well. He's one of our best players. So it's a bit of a blow, but I think the club get a wee bit of money for that as well. So maybe that'll boost the budget as well for January.
That must be a first, is it? A 4-4 player in the African Cup of Nations?
I don't think we've had African Cup of Nations. In 2012, we had a Faroe Island centre-half who played. He played against Scotland the last time we played them as well. So not since 2012 have we had an international, and it's quite exciting to have a 4-4 player in an international tournament. Not something I ever thought I'd see, but there you go.
There we go. Logan, thanks again for coming on. Always a pleasure to chat with you. Wish you all the best for Christmas and New Year, whatever it is you do. All the best to you and your family, and we'll maybe see you in 2024.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Great to chat to you.
So, Martin, that is it for this week, and indeed for us for 2023. A year, I guess we could pretty much sum up as a year of two halves.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Definitely a better end to the year than the start of the year was. It was some dark days back in January, not only with the light, but what we've seen on the pitch as well. It was very difficult. We've seen a lot of changes in the club as well in the last 12 months in the calendar year. It's been tough periods, but yes, things are starting to look a lot better under the Ryan and Jordan's tenure in charge, and hopefully as we're going to 2024, they can keep the positivity around the club going as well.
What you apart from the obvious, but what you looking forward to in 2024?
I just think the way the club is off the field as well. I think there's definitely good things happening behind the scenes. I think everybody is pulling in the same direction now, whether that was maybe happening you know, 18 months ago and into the start of 2023, I don't know, but I certainly think there's a lot of positivity coming at the club, a lot of good work being done. Obviously, we've got the Ultras container coming as well. They bring that something different to the stadium as well, the atmosphere. So, yeah, I think overall, everything just seems to be ticking along quite nicely. And you know, hopefully we can obviously go back to League One at the first time of asking. That's the... That would be the main objective, I think, for the club. But yeah, just everything seems to go in the right direction now, and it's really good and positive to see.
Yeah, I think that would be the key thing, is getting back up again at the first time of asking whether or not it's up to champions, which we would dearly love to happen, or if it's the playoffs, so be it. But that was certainly put to bed what has been a pretty bad year for us.
Yeah, I certainly think the first half of 2023, right up till the summer, was tough, really tough. I think once Ryan and Jordan were, you know, appointed co-managers permanently, you started to see things, you know, going upward projection, and hopefully that can continue with the two of them in charge going into 2024.
So that is it, as I said, Martin. As always, pleasure to chat with you over the course of the last 12 months. As I said, hopefully next year is a lot more positive. Wish you all the best for Christmas and New Year. Oh, no doubt we'll be seeing you over the festive period. Best wishes to everybody in the family. Hopefully something's good to you.
As always, I'm good all year round. Why wouldn't you be? Yeah, likewise, wish you and the family well. We'll all see each other over the festivities, and you know, hopefully all the listeners as well have a good Christmas and prosperous New Year.
So it just leaves me to say to thanks to Logan Hutchison for joining me to preview the Forfar game, and to everyone that has contributed throughout the year as well. Thank you for your contributions. And always, as always, thank you to everyone for listening during the past 12 months. It was really much appreciated, and we do enjoy all your feedbacks, etc. as well. So on behalf of myself, Colin Byers and Martin Smith, we wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a safe and prosperous New Year. We'll see you all again in 2024. Cheers.